Sunday, the amount of people that it takes to make it all work is significant. From our bus drivers to our Sunday school teachers to junior church workers to choir members, and man, just appreciate them all. I'm thankful for them. And so why do we do all that? To glorify God. The purpose of it is that God would be pleased and glorified. And appreciate it. If you have a part in that, I'm thankful. And
Brother Bauman and I were talking a little bit about statistics this morning, and I think one of the reasons that I don't know, just things the way they are here, is that church trends or Christianity numbers don't seem to apply here, and I'm thankful. Where 20% do 80% of the work is not the statistic here. We have 80% of the people doing 150% of the work. It's pretty much what it is, and it's good, and it's good to be a part of that. And I am thankful to serve the Lord with you. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this passage and all that goes in behind it. Lord, I do ask that you'd be pleased and honored and glorified, not just with what happens in this room, but all the classrooms this morning. God, I pray for the lessons. I pray if there's a young person this morning here that doesn't know you, that today is to hear about God sending his Son to this earth to pay for the sins of mankind, that it would be personal to them. Lord, I pray if someone here this morning in this room is not saved, that today would be the day that they put their complete faith and trust in you alone. Lord, thank you for Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, certainly, Luke chapter 2 is a familiar passage, certainly around this time of year. We'll read verse 10 and 11 again. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And we read this passage, and certainly we're familiar with the circumstances. Here's the angel announcing the birth of Christ. The a passage that we maybe sit around Christmas morning and open up. I don't know what your family traditions are or what it is that you do, but at our house we'll either read Luke or Matthew and take some time and talk about it. Again, drawing great attention to the fact that God sent his Son as the greatest gift of all to mankind. And it says it right there, which shall be to all people. Jesus Christ sent to all people. The birth announcement. There was a time when you're having children, and where you announce the birth, and it's a big deal. Now everyone does it on Facebook. Here's the picture. Congratulations or whatever. But I remember maybe 10 or 15 years ago getting little pictures in the mail. You know, announcing the birth of a child. Well, this is God announcing the birth of Jesus Christ. Unlike anything else that we've experienced. And as we read Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, we think, oh, this is the beginning. But actually this morning, that's going to be our end thought. Actually this morning, this is where we're going to look backwards and then end with Luke chapter 2. So when God announces the birth of the Son, His Son, Jesus Christ, this has been foretold. This day was prophesied many years before. In the scripture, there's over 300 prophecies concerning Christ's life, to which he has perfectly fulfilled 100%. Now, you look at a lot of statistics. statistics and numbers, and they say this. I don't know how they can calculate it, but I read it on multiple occurrences, and the scientific knowledge behind it. I started reading it, and then I was dozing off because it just I was not paying attention. But the final conclusion of the matter was this. To fulfill 8 prophecies concerning Christ would be the chances of 1 in 10 to the 17th power, which is 1 in 100 quadrillion. That's 8. Christ fulfilling over 300 perfectly. You know, it would be something for someone to, maybe even today, announce who's going to win the Super Bowl. But it would be easy to do that if you guessed everybody, right? Someone's going to win the Super Bowl out of the AFC or NFC. True statement. Someone's going to win the Super Bowl that plays football. The team that wins the Super Bowl is going to score more points than the other team. All of which are true statements, but really require zero prophecy. The things that were prophesied about Christ were unlike any prophecy of any other man. The fact of the matter is that Jesus Christ is unlike any other man. Well established by God hundreds of years previous. Now we're going to look at 6 things this morning, with the intention of at our 7th point this morning, we'll bring it all together for us, all right? So we're putting on our thinking caps this morning, again paying close attention, and we'll try and move through these things, but I do want to get to a conclusion, all right? So I'm glad you have your Bibles this morning. Let's go to Genesis chapter 49 this morning. Genesis chapter 49. We're going to look at 6 prophecies of the birth of Christ only. The birth of Christ, that's what we're talking about here today. The birth of Christ. A lot about His life was prophesied, but we're going to look at 6 concerning His birth and or early years. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10. Here we're seeing Jacob give blessings to his children. As we spoke Sunday night, Jacob had how many sons? Do you remember? 12. 12. Now, when we look at the tribes of Israel, we break up Joseph into 2, Ephraim and Manasseh. But here, in chapter 49, we're going to look at a very important one in verse 9. It says this, Judah is a lion's whelp. So we're talking about Judah. Judah is what number in the birth order? Does anybody know? 4. 4th one. I'll help you. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he croucheth as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? Verse 10. The scepter, is a symbol of power. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until, look at this word, Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Genesis chapter 49. This is approximately 1,700 years before Jesus Christ ever took his first breath on earth. This is 1,700 years before Luke chapter 2. And God says, I'm going to bring something out of the lineage of Judah. That is where the Messiah is going to come. I'm going to establish something that cannot be taken away. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. How is that possible? Because he's going to make a throne associated with Judah that cannot be undone. Look at Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Now the answer to all of our questions is going to be simple. Jesus. Who can fulfill the scepter that cannot be taken away out of the tribe of Judah? Who is that? Jesus. Jesus Christ. Look at Luke chapter 3 and verse 33. This is the, as we look at Luke chapter 3, starting in about, I think, 22, 23 or so, that's where we start the lineage of Christ through Mary. And it goes all the way back, and as we move through right around chapter 3 and verse 23, we start seeing names that we're familiar with. All of a sudden, Jesse shows up, and Obed, and now look at verse 33, which was the son of Amminadab, which is the son of Aram, which is the son of Ezram, which the son of Phares, which was the son of Judah. Jesus Christ being in the tribe of where? Judah. Well, that's by chance. 1 in 12 chance. All right. We'll continue. 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Point number 1. He was of the tribe of Judah. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And verse 10. Moreover, I appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. We've yet to see that. And as since the time that I command judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house, and then thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Who not only will be of the tribe of Judah, but established and linked to King David himself. This is the covenant that God is making with David. Who is that? Who can fulfill not only out of the tribe of Judah, but also in the lineage of King David? Jesus. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of who? David, the son of Abraham. Here we see him not only just born out of the tribe in which the Messiah will come, but our very introduction, the very first verse of our New Testament, tells us that Jesus Christ is out of which generation? King David. He is linked to King David. Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7 this morning. In verse 14. Say, I don't know, Pastor Russo. Those things could have happened. I mean, it's 1 in 12 chance out of the tribes. And there were a lot of people underneath the lineage of David. Wouldn't it be something if God said something about the birth of his son that would remove all doubt? Could he do something with the birth of Christ that could never be replicated by any other person? Because there were other people of the tribe of Judah and in the lineage of David. So could he do something that he never had done with any other birth of any other child ever, that took man completely out of it? And tell about it 700 years before it happened. Not that it just happened. It's not like saying, one day I'm going to have a son and his name's going to be Samuel. Well, you do have a son and his name is Samuel. It's not like announcing something that's currently going on. This happened 700 years before Luke chapter 2. So in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, look at this. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. We're going to need a good sign. We're going to need to know that the Messiah is who he said. How could you possibly out of, and I showed you that number in the bulletin, it is an estimated that there, since people have been, since Adam and Eve till today, an estimated 108 billion people have been born. 108 billion people. Now that was like 2016, so maybe we could round up to 110 billion. It's about. These are birth orders and birth rates and all of that, death rates, and they've taken into account, again, far smarter people than me about census numbers. Estimated. Only one. Out of 110 billion people, only one person has ever had this happen. Only one person. I would dare say a sign. Hey, we all have birthdays, right? I mean, we've talked about three of them here this morning. Obviously, by you being here, you have a birthday. So what's going to set my birthday different than everybody else's birthday? What's going to set me up apart from somebody else? How can we possibly have a sign about a birth and something that has happened to a billion people? At this point now, in current present time, 110 billion people have been born, but yet one thing has happened to one person different than everybody else. That would be remarkable. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A sign that is different than every other person. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Biologically, this is impossible. Biologically. I'm not going to, for the sake of embarrassment on my own part, get into all the details of why it's physically impossible, but I'm telling you, it is impossible for a virgin to have give birth to a child. It's impossible. It cannot happen. And God says, that's what I'm going to do. Luke chapter 1. It's like making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with no peanut butter and jelly. You understand what I'm saying? Say, no, that makes no sense. You need two things to come together to make a child. And if we don't have those two things, we get no child. Peanut butter and jelly, that's what you need for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. There's two things that have to happen. And it didn't happen. And yet we still got the results. Hold on. Okay, quickly moving on. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to be espoused to a man. Third word, a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. See, you know what that is? That's the fulfilling of those things. Of the tribe of Judah. That's the link to Jacob. Of the father of David. And of his kingdom shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. 700 years before that happened, God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take a virgin that's never known a man, and she's going to give birth to a child. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He had to tell Joseph too. For Joseph, that would have been a deal breaker, right? Unless God intervened. And he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted, which being interpreted is God with us. Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. 700 plus years before he was born, not only was he said that he would be brought out of the tribe of Judah, descendant of King David, but something happened that never happened before, nor will ever happen again. A virgin conceived. So how is that possible? It told us right in the passage. The Holy Spirit of God did it. The power of God was on it. See, that's unnatural. That doesn't happen. Yeah, so is walking on water, but that's what God does. They're called miracles. The breaking of any natural law is a miracle. Changing the very chemical compound of water into anything else is a miracle. Taking a blind man and putting spit on his eyes that he can see is a miracle. Say, that doesn't make sense. That's not right. Why do you believe those things and don't believe that miracle? So is it with a few loaves and a couple fishes, feeding 5,000 people, with the end having 12 baskets full. You don't get more at the end than what you started with, especially after feeding 5,000 people. Say that I get that, but how did that, the same way that other miracles did, by the power of God. And he called a shot. He pointed to it. We've all seen the picture, Babe Ruth, right? Pointing out into the outfield. Takes a bat, hits the ball right where he pointed. That's what God did. Watch this. And he points. A virgin will conceive. Crack! There it is. Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. We spoke about this in our institute class. So many times we look at that and we just roll right past it. But can you imagine? Can you imagine living 30 years of your life being said, of where you came from? The ridicule that he had to deal with, the humility that he had to exhibit? Because all his life, he was born before his parents were married. You do the math and, wait a second, Jesus. You're illegitimate. And he opened not his mouth. Not until he starts doing the miracles does he reveal who he is. So for the first 30 years of his life, he had to deal with that name. He was despised and rejected of men. Day in, day out. Hey, kids are cruel. Say, no, those Old Testament kids are just like the New Testament kids. He had to live a life of humility, born of a virgin. Micah chapter 5. 1, 2, 3. We're up to number 4. The virgin one was going to take a little longer, so. Micah chapter 5. I feel like you're trying to find Micah. I might have an extra time to get a little drink. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me." That is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Pretty clear that it says that he's going to be born of where? Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Matthew chapter 2. I know I'm sending a lot of verses out your way, but in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, if you remember, where the angel of the Lord met Mary. Do you remember where it was? It says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Where did Mary and Joseph live? Nazareth. Where was he going to be born? Bethlehem. Tricky. People didn't move around a lot. Especially being great with child. Ever talk to a lady and that is ready to? What do they want? Just, don't move me. I don't want to move. I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to sit here. And you know, a lot of our missionary friends, and they're about 3 months out from having a child, maybe 2 months out, and there's that no fly zone anymore. So they got to get to where they want to be. Last thing they want to be doing is traveling. Great with child. They're already a little on edge, Brother Sutliff. This was not a delight to them. So how was God going to work it that he was going to be Jesus of Nazareth, but yet born out of Bethlehem? That's going to be tricky. Well, leave it to the Lord. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in, what does it say? Bethlehem. Why? Because they had to move. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's a decree. And God used that. And God uses things in our life to get us where we want to be at the right time. And we got to stop pushing against those things. This is a good example to us. The fact that Joseph and Mary were in very difficult circumstances. Here we have a virgin, great with child. Joseph just kind of overseeing all of it right now. She's about to have a child. They're moving from one city to the next. Oh, it's just terribly inconvenient. But that's what God wants. And they did that, fulfilling the scripture. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded them where Christ should be born. How would he know? There's no Democrat and Chronicle. There's no birth announcement to Herod. How would he know where he was going to be born? Well, they open up the scriptures and they look at Micah. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Even Herod knew where to go to find out about the birth of Christ. They brought out the scrolls, they brought out the rolls, they brought out the scriptures. The scribes read it. They said, in Bethlehem is where he was born. Of the tribe of Judah, lineage of David, a virgin conceives in the city of Bethlehem. Look at Hosea chapter 11. Say, are you almost done? Yes, we're almost done. Hosea chapter 11. Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called him and called my son out of Egypt. Well, that's going to be tricky too. Because how do you get a person that's, and we'll look at, that'll be our last point, the Nazarite. Well, the Nazarene. Jesus of Nazareth. Out of the city of Bethlehem and yet still somehow link him to Egypt. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into where? Egypt. Why? Because Herod was looking to kill him. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. What was the purpose of him taking him to Egypt? To protect his life. But there was a twofold. See, what is that? Verse 15. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. I know, maybe you read Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1 and go, I don't know if that's Jesus. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 15 said, that's Jesus. Well, I could have been talking. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 15 says, this right here is a fulfillment of Hosea chapter 11. He did it as a young child brought out of Egypt, born in Bethlehem. And lastly, Matthew chapter 2, look at verse 23. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken. Now, this is important as we read this. Let's read this again. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Say, show me that verse where it says that he will be he'll be called a Nazarene. Well, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 23, it says it. It says, yeah, but in the prophets. So show me the prophecy that it says that. There's no prophecy in the Old Testament that says it. Say, what are you going to do with that? There were circumstances and times of which prophecies would be passed down from prophet to prophet, person to person, and they were verbal. There were verbal covenants, never penned, never written. And this might have been one that everybody knew. That everybody knew about, not because it was written, but it was from generation to generation, passed down from person to person. In John chapter 1 and verse 46, remember when Nathanael, go to John 1, 46. we'll look at a little bit about Jesus of Nazareth. John 1:46 says, "And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of where? Out of Nazareth. Philip, being a little more optimistic, saith unto him, I'll come and see. We'll go see." Now, the people from Nazareth were a little looked down upon. Isaiah chapter 53. Look at Isaiah 53. I'm going to read it when I get there, just for sake of time. Isaiah 53:3 says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. He is despised and rejected of men. Certainly, that was Jesus Christ. Look at Psalm chapter 22, verse 6. Verse 1, we see the context. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Familiar words that we see on the cross. Verse 6, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people." Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. The tribe of Judah, lineage of King David, born of a virgin, city of Bethlehem, yet somehow came out of Egypt. Jesus of Nazareth. Well, that's pretty awesome. Oh, if when you look at it, you feel like that? I think that. I think that's pretty awesome. Not just one thing. It would be something if he just said this or that, or maybe a couple. But here we have six instances that were said of and yet fulfilled. Christ does this his whole entire life. Completely fulfills every single promise. There weren't a lot of prophecies. Let me correct that. There are zero prophecies that were made that he didn't fulfill or are yet to fulfill. There are certain things that are still coming. He's going to come back. He's going to establish his throne forever and ever. Those things are promised. And those, we have word, are yet to come. Everything about his birth, fulfilled. Everything about his announcement, fulfilled. He did everything that he should have done. About his death, completely. About his life on earth, completely fulfilled. You can't look at it and go, oh, you missed one. You didn't miss any. None. What does that do for me? This is where we make application now. I had a little Sunday school lesson. How quickly see why this is even important to us. Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28 and verse 23. Acts 28:23 says, "When they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging." This is talking of Paul. "To whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus." Look, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, morning till evening, believe the things which were spoken. Some believe not. Messiah showed up. He was of the tribe of Judah, lineage of King David, born of a virgin in the city of Bethlehem. Some believe because of those very teachings. Believe. Luke chapter 24. Chapter 24, verse 27. We are on the road to Emmaus. Jesus Christ is talking to these, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Proof. Proof. He was who he said he was. Verse 44 of that same chapter. He said unto them, "These are the words which I spoken unto you, while I was yet with you. All things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then he references the Psalms. Psalm 22. Prophets. Isaiah. Micah. Yeah. Of Moses, we saw that last Sunday night in Tabernacle. Oof. Was who he said he was. Last verse, chapter 18, and verse 28. Acts 18, 28. Paul speaking again. Tell us. He mightily convinced Jews that publicly showing the scriptures, Jesus was the Christ. Scriptures. Matthew, Mark? No. We use the book of Acts. Oh, he's living the book of Acts. Proof of Christ, he was Old Testament. Law. Prophets. Things are very important. Last verse. Yeah, we've already looked at this verse. It doesn't come as a new verse. Luke chapter 2. We'll end with Luke chapter 2 and verse 2. The angel said unto them, "Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, Savior, Christ the Lord. For the tribe of Judah, the lineage of David, born of a virgin, the city of Bethlehem, which will then be brought out of Egypt, Jesus, Nazareth, and announces his birth as the Savior, lot behind. We'll stand. That help you believe. Believe. If you're this morning and you don't believe in Jesus Christ, sorry, you're missing out. Missing out. Paul used Old Testament scriptures and showed some believed and some believed not. Only the ones that believed not went away sorrowful. It was announced long before he showed up. All were waiting. This morning, if you're here and you're not saved, he came with a friend, maybe a week, year after year, maybe even decades. This morning. Talk to me. You're long-winded. I don't have time. Someone short.